there is a, you know, there is now in America the whole movement in the last month of breaking statues, destroying statues. Let's say the statue of what's his name, Columbus, and other people. Everybody is destroying whatever he can destroy. Then, and on the other end, the president decided to build a garden with 30 new statues, with 30 famous people in America, in Washington, D.C. And that's a good opportunity to discuss what is the Jewish approach towards statues and monument of people. The short answer is no, terrible, right? And we know it.
Idol right away. I think idol.
You're right. Idol right away. Then it's written in the Ten Commandments. The second commandment is not only you do not allow to worship idol, you're not allowed to make any statues. Lo ta'aseh lecha pesel v'chol tmuna. Cannot make any statues or any images. Simple. That's the short answer. Get out of here, right? We read it also in the parsha of this week. We read about idol worshiping. The Torah says you have to be hostile to the Midianites because the Midianites' goal seduced the Jewish boys to worship the idol of Peor, Baal, the idol of Baal Peor.
A guy, I need translation.
The Midianim, the Midianites, the girls went and seduced the Jewish boys to worship idol. Because they wanted the girls, then they were ready to worship idols. The idol, it's called Baal Peor. And the Torah says you have to be angry, you have to hate the Midianites because of this, forever. That's the short answer. But there is a long answer, as usual. You ever heard about a famous sculptor? His name was Jacques Lifshitz. He passed away in 1973, a Jewish sculptor that in the 50s and the 60s, he was the most famous Jewish sculptor in the world. Sculpture makes him make statues. You understand? Oseh psalim. Pasal, pasal, video. And this sculpture, this man who made, his name was Jacques Lifshitz. Who is this Jacques Lifshitz? He was born in 1891 in Poland to a religious family. At his bar mitzvah, the rabbi said, I wish the young boy was a very smart boy. He said, I wish you should not be a rabbi because it's not just a great job. But I know one thing for sure, you're going to be a great man in Israel. This Jacques Lifshitz, from a very young age, became a sculptor. He liked to do things with his hand. Because his father was a contractor, and he saw all the craftsmen in the house working and things, and he used to learn from them. His father didn't appreciate it, said, what are you wasting time in doing this nonsense? But his mother believed in him very much. And she used to always remind him, the rabbi said you'll be a great man in Israel. You'll be famous. When he was 18, he decided to move to Paris. In 1909, he moved to Paris. And there he went to school and he became a famous artist, a famous sculptor. He befriended Picasso and Chagall. He became one of this group. He got married, but he stopped practicing religion. He stopped to put on film. He dropped the whole Jewish thing he dropped. He lived in Paris for 20 years. Until World War II broke out. In 1941, he had to leave everything. He left his home, he left his studio, he left all his sculpture work in the middle, quarter, almost ready, and he ran away to America with his wife. He came to America, he was here until after the war. After the war, he was invited to Paris to do another show, a sculpture something. He went back to Paris, and his wife told him, I like it in Paris. I'm not going back to America. Sound familiar? And he said, no, I'm going back to America. And he left. Eventually, they got divorced.
Decision.
Huh? Chas v'shalom. I don't know what I just said a story about Jack Lifshitz. In any case, he came to America. He found, he was introduced to another Jewish girl. She was Jewish too, the first wife. He knows another Jewish girl. And the Jewish girl, the second Jewish girl, she came from a traditional, from a Hasidic family. She was not religious, but she was born to tradition. They got married, life was good. In 1958, one day he wakes up in the morning. He gets up from, he goes out of his room and he sees he doesn't feel good. He makes a few steps and he collapses. He was taking 911, taking to the hospital. A day later he woke up, his wife tells him, there is bad news. He had stomach cancer and they made a surgery. He took out a piece, but it's bad. He was very depressed. He had so many ideas, so many plans how to do things and to sculpture things. And now his whole world is falling apart. Then what he did is, his wife was praying, and then his wife's brother told her, maybe go, there is a rabbi in New York, the Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Go ask for a blessing. Maybe we'll make a miracle. Maybe he'll give you a blessing. Your husband should recover. She went to see the Rebbe. She went to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe told her, she walked in, she started to tell the Rebbe, you know, I'm the wife of Jack Lipschitz. And she started to tell the Rebbe. The Rebbe told her, I know what Jack Lipschitz is. The Rebbe lived in Paris from 1935 to 1940. He says, I know who Jack Lipschitz is. I read about him. I know about you. I know everything. And tell him that I'm giving him a blessing. He should be healthy. He's going to be healthy. Your husband is going to live. And when he's recovering, tell him that I want him to come to visit me. She came back to the hospital. She shared with her husband the good news. The Rebbe said, you'll be good. And when you're good, you should go to see him. And he said, if I recover, if I'm alive, I will live, I will go to see the Rebbe. 6 months later, he went to see the Rebbe. He came on a cane, he was still recovering. He sat down by the Rebbe's office, he told the Rebbe everything about his life, how he was religious, and how he dropped his religion, and what he did with his first wife, with his second wife, and about his sculptures. And he told the Rebbe, my sculptures are even in churches. And now I'm doing the Virgin for a Catholic church. Sculpturing the Virgin. The Rebbe listened, didn't tell him anything. And when he finished, the Rebbe told him, listen, I want from you to do only two things I'm asking for you. Start to put on film every day. That's it. And another thing is, give your ex-wife a get, a Jewish divorce, and marry this wife in a kosher way with a chuppah. Like in Caesarea, in a chuppah. Then he liked it. He told the Rebbe he will do it. And he started to put on film and he recovered completely. And he became very close with the Rebbe. He used to come to be big for bringings for the Rebbe was for bringing. He started private audience with the Rebbe, write letters. One day the Rebbe told him, you know, Jacques, you're traveling all over the world. Wherever you go, call the Chabad rabbi, tell him that you're here and you can help him. You can make a big event. People come to hear you. You're so famous. And the Rebbe told him, when you call the Chabad rabbi, don't be insulted if he doesn't know who you are, because he will not know who you are. But tell the rabbi, you should go to one of his friends in the community. They will tell him who he is. One of big supporters, they will know who Jack Lipschitz is. The rabbi doesn't know, but they will know. Once he came to California, I called the rabbi there. His name is Shlomo Konin. And he told him, this is Jack Lipschitz speaking. Do you know who I am? And the rabbi tells him, this is Shlomo Konin. Do you know who I am? He starts laughing and he tells him, you know, the Rebbe told me to call the rabbis. I'm Jack Lipschitz. I can help you. And Shlomo Konin did not know who Jack Lipschitz is. He went to one of his big supporters. He tells him, you know, Jack Lipschitz called me. He says he can help me. He said, Jack Lipschitz called you. Yeah, bring him to the house. We'll make a big event. Once the Rebbe wrote him a letter about the whole idea of sculpturing is this kosher. The Rebbe said there is always a way to do it according to Jewish law. And basically, the law is if you make a sculpture and it's missing one limb, one finger, it's kosher. If you take like a whole, what?
When you said lip or finger, like you're basically saying it's not perfect.
If you miss something, if it's not perfect, mm-hmm. is that you're allowed to make it. That's Jewish law. I don't encourage you to fill up your house with sculptures. No, not a Jewish thing. But you, from not encouraging to say it's not allowed, it's two separate things, you understand? If you're missing something, it's kosher. And that's the way you can do it. He used to go wherever he went, he used to speak to audience, he used to tell them, I'm putting on tefillin every day because that tefillin connects you with my people, connects you with God, and gives me an inspiration. He says, as an artist, I need some inspiration to come up with new ideas. This elevates me and gives me inspiration. Inspiration to do more things. And he was very close to Chabad. In 1973, he died suddenly. After he passed away, his wife came to the Rebbe. She told the Rebbe she has an important question to ask. The women of Hadassah in New York, I think, commissioned her husband to build a sculpture of a phoenix. You know what a phoenix is?
Bird.
What's phoenix?
Bird, it rises from the ashes. That's what I know about a phoenix.
A bird that lives for many years and being burned and being reborn from the ashes. She said the husband almost finished it. And she says, she was an artist in her own right. She said, I can finish it. But some people told me it's not a Jewish symbol. And the Rebbe took out, called the secretary, told him, bring me the book of Job. And he quoted her from the book of Job that's written there. Then I should live as long as the phoenix of a hole. It's called in Hebrew. And Rashi explains, what does this mean? A bird that lives for 1,000 years because he never, the death sentence that came to humanity did not affect him. And then he's being burned and from his ashes he's being rebirthed again. The Rebbe told her, if it's written in the book of Job, in the Bible, and the Talmud speaks about it, it's not against Judaism. It's a Jewish symbol. You can finish it. And they finished it. She finished it. And the women of Hadassah donated it to the Hadassah Hospital in Jerusalem. Hadassah Har HaTzofim in Jerusalem. But to me, what the most important thing that I saw from this whole story, the Rebbe writes him a letter and tells him something very interesting. What is a sculpture doing? It takes a piece of wood, of raw wood, a piece of stone, a piece of metal that you can throw in the garbage. And he shapes it and he makes it into something with life or as a spirit, as a message, as something, the most beautiful thing that millions of people come to see. And it costs millions of dollars. That he takes something that's an inanimate object and he almost puts life into it. He elevates it. He makes it something that has a meaning, has a story to tell, and inspires people. Really, the Rebbe said, that's what Jewish people do with every mitzvah. Jewish people do with every mitzvah that they do? They take tefillin. What is tefillin? You take skin of an animal, you make from it the boxes, then you take other skin of animal, you make parchment from it, you write the Shema, you put it in, and this box becomes not just meaning, becomes a holy object. You cannot throw it in the garbage. You have to bury it if you want. You kiss it. We take physical things, inanimate objects. We are sculptures, and we make from it holy objects. You take two candles, and you light a candle. Now you make a mitzvah from these two candles who had no meaning. We are actually elevating. A sculpture can find meaning into things, can breathe meaning into something. We can make it holy, something the Jewish people only the Jewish people have. The power to sanctify something, to make something kadosh, to make it holy. Only Jewish people have this gift. For example, a scribe to write a mezuzah, he has to be Jewish. If he's not Jewish, even if he knows all the laws, he did not make the mezuzah holy. That's a power that God empowered the Jewish people. Then really every Jew is a sculpture. We take the world as it is and we find meaning in it and make it into a service of God. You have a house. When you learn it, why we have Zoom? The Zoom was created to learn Torah from it. But meanwhile, another 200 million people use it. So be it. But the purpose of the Zoom is to serve God. You learn sitting in your own house, then you learn Torah, when you have a mezuzah on your door, you take this inanimate object that's called home, house, and you make it into a house of God. You sanctify it. That's what it's all about. Then really every Jew is a sculpture. He goes around and takes a piece of the world and sanctify it, make it a holy place. It's like you take, when before the bake matzah, they say, for the sake of the mitzvah of matzah, l'shem matzot mitzvah, l'shem mitzvah matzah, l'shem mitzvah matzah. The Jew, when they bake the matzah, it says, for the sake of the mitzvah of matzah. By this, it makes it into a mitzvah, into a holy object. The same thing when they make tzitzis. The person who makes tzitzis, he says, for the sake of the mitzvah of tzitzis. And every time they make something a mitzvah, that's what they say. That's what a sculpture is, that really every one of us is a sculpture.